that when we sing, we are expressing something to God. That's the emphasis. And this is why I always take time off to explain what one or two of the verses in that particular song is saying. Because the emphasis, that is for me, when I do worshiping song, is to help us to understand that our emotion as well as our intellect and understanding should be involved as we worship God. Run to the passage with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14 and 15. And let us hear it.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful.
May I? It's important that we gather what he's saying. And that we understand right here that worship is not just come and we have a nice time in the Lord. Yes, we are to have a nice time in the Lord. If for no other reason, to know that you do something that please God should make us feel good about that. But it's not just to come and emotionally we are like we went to the club or the dance hall. No. Our intellect, that's what the passage the brother is saying. And you know what is surprising? Even in prayer. We don't just come and we bow down and we just talk. No. Even in prayer. And we need to think about that. Notice what the brothers just read a while ago.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue.
If I pray in a foreign language, that's what it means, you know.
My
so wait, brother, don't misunderstand this. This doesn't mean to... Unknown tongue means a language. But it's one that you were not taught. You miraculously get the gift to speak in that particular language. That's all it needs. It's an existing. Remember, tongue in the Bible means a language that people use, an existing, practicing language that men and women use, but which you did not learn the natural way that men and women learn language. And the natural way is that either we are born in the environment where that language is used and spoken, or the other way, we go and learn it. Those are the two ways, the two natural ways that we learn to speak in any language. We born and live in the environment. That's how comes you and I don't speak Spanish. It's not our native tongue. That's how comes we speak English. That's our native tongue. We born in the country and in the environment where it is spoken. Well, there are other people who go and learn to speak English by learning. And you and I can speak Spanish by going to school and learning. So when the Bible speaks of tongue in the miraculous sense as it is doing here, it means that none of those means was employed in speaking in tongue. It was the person was miraculously endowed with the ability to speak in that language. But watch here now. Read.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful.
You see, so what it is aiming at, it's important that there is a plus when we understand what we do and what we say. That's right. Read on.
What is it then? Mm-hmm. I will pray with the Spirit.
Wait. That means what is it then? Is that Paul is anticipating the Corinthians saying to him, what do you mean, Paul? That's what is it then? What direction you are going with that, Paul? Paul is saying, this is what I mean. Read.
I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also.
That means, when we say something, when we bow our head and say something to God, we must be speaking in rational, understandable terms. We not just talk. We must understand what we are saying. And when we say, we shut up and stop. Read.
I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
Can you believe that? Singing. Our understanding, not just our feeling, or our emotion, our understanding, our intellect must be involved. When we come singing, when a brother is up here leading, and we are a part of that singing praise to God, our understanding, in every song we sing, we are expressing something to God. So, worshipping in song, my thing over the years when, from it was introduced, was to help us realize that. You know, just sing. Remember this morning we were talking about the importance the Bible places and how? Well, it's under consideration here. How do you sing? Do you just sing so? That's the way you feel, but no understanding. That's not the way we are. The understanding should be involved. And that is what worshipping in song is all about. There's another thing. Remember, the Bible places or speaks a lot about singing. We must be mindful of that. From Old to New Testament, much is said about singing. Much is said in the New Testament about singing. The passage just read is one. You have the passage in Hebrew, in the midst of the church, I will sing. You have the passage in Ephesians, and that is chapter 5, verse 19. Let us hear that.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Singing. And making melody in your heart to the
Notice
Lord.
Notice that the melody is not made on an instrumental, mechanical instrumental string. The melody is made on the heart. Singing and making melody. Where?
In your heart.
Unto?
To the Lord.
Here again, there are a lot of little things here that, and you must keep this in mind. I have pointed out here for years. Let's say I found myself with a great voice. Now I can put together some religious song to sell. Those songs were put together to make some money. They are spiritual religious songs. But when I call one or two brothers and sisters and we put together a record or a CD or two or three. Those songs are not worship. You must remember that. Singing and putting together religious songs for the purpose of making money. For entertaining others. When if I come up here and entertain you with a wonderful song from the songbook, that's great. But I'm not worshiping God. Notice the passage the brother read. You see, it must be unto the Lord. That's key. Whatever we do, there must be a distinction in respect to, am I doing it for myself? Am I doing it to please you? To satisfy you? Or am I doing it to uplift God's name? That makes all the difference. All the difference. So, a person with a great voice can come and sing, and we are glad for such people in the church. We are glad that we can have sing off where different churches meet at a particular congregation, and we just listen to great religious songs. But in most cases, that's not worship. That's healthy spiritual entertainment. Or religious entertainment. And that's good. But that's not worship. And you must know the difference. Singing and making melody and to yourself, no. And to the brethren, no. It must be unto the Lord. It must be directed within your mind. It must be directed towards the Almighty God, towards Jesus Christ. You must be mindful of that. That was Ephesians. Colossians 3:16 also.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
You notice? Teaching. How? Teaching and admonishing one another. How do you do that? We can do that with psalms
and hymns.
Hymns.
And spiritual songs.
And spiritual songs. Huh? So when we are singing, we are teaching one another. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Simply because in every song, religious, spiritual song that are properly put together based on God's truth, we are expressing something in every one of those songs when we sing them. And when the Bible talks about we must sing with the spirit and with the understanding, that's what it means. You must not just gallant so when you sing. You must be mindfully expressing the truth which that song expresses. And that must be your desire. Look at one more passage. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 14. I think so.
Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but he shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit.
My servant shall do what?
Sing for joy of heart.
That's right. Isn't it the Bible says, if any merry,
let him sing.
Let him sing. Normally, so the few passages I mentioned are but a few that speaks about singing. Singing is important. In singing, it's like we are uplifting God's name in songs. That's part of the purposes that singing play. When you come to church, make sure you don't just sit down so when others are singing. You would be committing wrong in God's sight if you just sit down listening to them. No true child of God is entertained while the rest of God's children are engaged in worshiping God. All of us should be active participants in any true worship. Normally, in worshiping in song, I get songs from the audience. Tonight, because I've taken up probably part of the time talking and explaining to you to be mindful that whenever we have messaging in song, part of the reason is for us to realize that the intellect, the mind, the understanding is called upon by God to be engaged, to be involved as well as our emotion, our feeling. I may use the old period and be selfish tonight. I'm going to select and while this is one of the song I have in mind, just as I open the songbook, that's the song that truly, and when I look on the little piece of paper, I have some song written down because I remember that this is one of the song I have written down, and I opened the songbook, and I'm not like the case that Brother Webb shared with you, with us, where I learned it a little differently, Brother Webb, but the man wants to serve God and decided, of course, he's going to just open the Bible and God will direct him to the passage where God is speaking to him. And the first passage he opened was that, and Judas went and hung himself. And he shut the Bible and decided to open another one where God is speaking to him. And when he opened the other one, it says, and go and do likewise. So, I hope that's not my case tonight. Among the songs that I have, you know, How Great Thou Art is for me, that's a great song. Great song, oh Lord my God, when I in awe someone. And I personally, I have so many occasions in my life. There's hardly a week pass when something in nature about my fellow human being that does not bring home the message to me in respect to how awesome God is. Truly, it's a regular thing for me where I have to, you know, what a great God God is. Even the achievement of man brings to me the great intellect that God gives man. when I see the things that man has achieved, the things that man has built, it just brings God into the picture for me. So, how great thou art is a song that comes to me quite often. You know, sometimes I wonder the expression that Brother Walker has and how he kind them. This week we were together, and you know, as many of you who visiting know, when you visit Brother Walker, it's Bible. Remember, it's the short-term memory that is the problem, but it's just Bible and God. And as I sat there, he was talking, and he said, "Michi, people must learn, if they not stay with the book, they'll get hooked." And I said, "He's so right." Then, you know, he's talking about people who are going to wait up until the last moment when they want to take Christ and Christianity serious, and some going to die planning to become a Christian and didn't get the chance. And he said, "We can't go to God and the day of judgment and talk about mercy, mercy, and who killed Percy." you know, and that, and as I sat there, that, you know, I said, "Where Brother Walker get those terms from?" But the one who I brought that up, the one that really I'll never forget, that was just about 2 years ago. We were going down. In fact, I think we were going to visit Brother Daly, Brother Wilburn Daly in Goshen. And as we were driving on the highway, approaching or going towards the last toll close to Nathan, and you know, there is the little bump and you're going to take the descent, and the sky was beautiful and blue. The day was a nice day. And I don't remember, probably it was I who pointed out and said, what a beauty. And Brother Walker said, "Michi, when God drop him hand on things, he tell you that he's in the boat, yeah. When God drop his hand on things, he tell you, saying the boat, yeah." I'll never forget that. Because, yes, the greatness of God comes out in the work of God. When God drop him hand on things, you know that there is a God. So let us look on how great thou art. Number three. Okay, when you sing this song, in verse 1, you are acknowledging to God. And when you sing this song, it must be, in fact, an acknowledgement, a true acknowledgement in respect to God's greatness. Oh Lord, my God. It's not just when I'm in wonder, when I'm in awesome wonder. Because God worked, called, not just for mere wonder. But the greatness of God. There are so many things that come to my mind, and I'm sure to yours, where you're dying for the day to come when person to person you can ask Jesus Christ some question. Truly. Some things that are so great, they are puzzling. You wonder how God bring them about. There are so many things. And one day you hope that you can speak to somebody, the Almighty God, Christ in person, an angel whom probably know more than we do. So this time, When I'm in awe, someone, to consider all the world thy hands have made. And it is a great world. I look on the stars. I hear the thunder rolling. And when I look and see and hear these, it reminds me that it is your power being displayed throughout the universe. Those are the occasion, God, when I am compelled either to think or to sing or to say how great you are. When I walk through the woods and wander through the forest glades, when I hear the birds singing, and you town people, no, run with all the birds. Hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, I remember when Brother Pounds was here. I drove him up to Ty Dixon. Of course, I remember when we were climbing the hill going up, and I pointed out to him, I said, "Look, Brother Pounds." And when he looked and realized that there are hundreds of feet down, he said, "Brother Mitchell, let me look. You don't look." And he was right. That is going up, climbing the hill after you pass through Yorton. But when we went and we were coming back, I stopped on the hill looking down on Loida's Vale, the Vale of Loida's. For me, as much as I have seen that hundreds or dozens of times, to me that's an awesome sight, beautiful. And he found it that way. He begged me to stop for him to take some picture. The Vale of Loida. Sometimes I feel it's just that you plan it and for 3, 4, 5, 10 years you have been planning and never. Sometimes I feel like I'll just drive out, just park there at the Vale of Loida and take in the scenery. How great thou art is about that. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, they are great, they are grand. And hear the brook, that is the little stream running, and feel the gentle breeze. Then my soul sing, God, you are a great God. May we sing. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the roar thunder, thy power of thy universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing, sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and the burrow, feel the gentle breeze, then sings soul my Savior God. Then great the walk, how great the walk. Then soul my Savior God to thee, how great the walk, how great the walk. And when I think that God's Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died. Take away my sins, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great the walk, how great the walk. Then sings soul, my Savior God to thee. How great the walk, how great the walk. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. You notice the third verse. What you're saying, when I consider that God did not spare his Son, that's, you know, it's important that you get, you know, when I think that God is Son not sparing, is that you are odd when you think that God did not spare his Son, but instead he sent him to die at the cruel cross of Calvary. That is an awesome act of love by God. God is great. Just one more song. we will sing, "My faith looks up to thee." That is, in our belief, we look to God. And that is 338. 338. In this song, you are making a request to God. And remember, when we come to it Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and the brother lead us in singing, we are sometimes giving thanks to God in that song. Sometimes we are acknowledging truth. Sometimes we are asking God for things. Sometimes we are seeking mercy in the songs that we sing. My faith looks up to thee. In other words, God, you are the one through my belief I am looking to. You are the Lamb of Calvary. You are the divine Savior. God, as I look to you through my faith, I beg that you listen to me while I pray. I beg that you take my guilt away. I beg, my God, that you help me that as from this day I will be better in your sight. I will be completely yours. May your rich grace give to me, impart means to send to me, give to me strength for my fainting heart. That is, I come upon situation in life, God, that sometimes I become faint-hearted, weak. Sometimes I don't know how to deal with the challenges. So in this verse, the writer is saying, through your grace that is so rich, strengthen my fainting heart, inspire my zeal. And since or because you died for me, may my love to you, Almighty God, Jesus Christ, be pure, be warm, and may my love to you be changeless. Could we stand as we sing this one? My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. No, hear me while I pray, cast my guilt away. Oh, lift me from this day be divine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, Oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. We sing the fourth verse. When in life transcend dream, when the cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, bless in love fair and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransom soul. Amen. Please be seated.